I'm going to try to hurry this morning. I'm already out of my time realm here, but it'll be all right. I saw some things about this debt that I want to show you. First of all, Paul tells us here, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but Paul tells us in the next few verses that he believes that he owes these people one thing in particular, and that is a clear presentation of the gospel. So much so that he makes this proclamation, I am not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not going to let it be hid. I'm not going to hold it back. Man, it'd be real good if some of God's people would just decide we're not going to hold back.
Amen.
We're not going to hold back on the gospel. But as I began to pray about this and study this, I saw some more debts that I want to talk about this morning. Debt is what I want to preach about, really. I just want to show you some debts that I believe that I found in Scripture that will help us understand the economy. We talk about the economy of God. And can I tell you something? The American economy is ruled by debt. Amen. Matter of fact, I've always not been able to understand this, but one of the greatest factors in our greater economy in this country is how much we owe other countries. I remember a few years back, I'm getting off track, but I'm going to preach my message in a minute. It'll happen real fast. I remember a few years back, there was a big fight in politics because the credit rating bureau of the world, which I don't even understand, where's that at, downgraded America's credit rating from 3 A's to 2 A's. And everybody said, oh my Lord, how are we going to survive? And I'm thinking, well, they all see my credit rating. And I'm still surviving, praise God. I mean, if I can live with a C, they ought to be able to live with 2 A's. You know what I'm saying? Amen.
Amen.
But that's how much debt is a part of our world. And can I say this? Debt is a part of our spiritual world. You owe some things, friend. If you don't understand that part of your spiritual life is not a choice, just choices to be made, but there are obligations to be fulfilled. Can I say this first of all to the sinner, that one that is lost, that does not know God, that's never been saved, the sinner carries with him some debt. First of all, the sinner's in debt simply because of his sin. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6 and verse number 23, the wages of sin is death. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, the Bible says that all have sinned. You say, who's that include? That includes everybody. Me, you, and everybody that ain't me and you. If you take it back to the Greek, the word all means all, and that's all that it's ever meant, and that's all that it's going to mean. It means every man, woman, boy, and girl that's ever been born into this world has a problem, has a debt that they owe because of sin. Say, what do they owe? Well, the Bible says, Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. There's the price of a life that must be paid for their sin. And we understand from the context of Scripture, that's not just talking about physical death. Every person is going to experience physical death. That's talking about a spiritual death, an eternal death, a separation from God in that life which is beyond this life. That is a spending eternity in a place called hell, where God is not. Where in Luke chapter number 16, we find out that there's a flame that tortures those who dwell in that place for eternity and eons to go. Do you understand what I'm saying this morning? Listen, the sinner has a debt because of sin. Not only that, but the sinner has a debt because of shortness. I wrote this in my, I alliterated this, y'all. I wrote this in my notes. Mm-hmm. Romans 3, I already gave you the verse, but the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The sinner has a debt because of his sin, but because of his shortness. He said, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that you ain't God. You'll never be God. You ain't Jesus.
You'll never be Jesus. You're always going to come short of His glory. I don't care how good you are. You ain't as good as He is. I don't care how powerful you are. You ain't as powerful as He is. I don't care how helpful you are. You ain't as helpful and useful as He is. I don't care how many lives you influence. It'll never be to the level that He is. Because you there's a debt that you must pay to bridge the gap between you and Him.
Amen.
Because of sin, because of shortness. But the shortness is because of the standard. You see, you can go back in your Old Testament, study it out. God provided for man a law. And this law was never meant to be a means of justification, but was meant to show you that the standards of God were so far beyond our ability that we needed to understand that we were always going to come up short. The standard is perfection. The standard is holiness. The standard is absolute righteousness. The standard that is set by God is so perfect and so much without error and without fault and without flaw that the reality is higher than we could ever reach. It's not just that we are low, it's that He is high. Mm-hmm. It's not just that we are imperfect, it's that He is so perfect. It's not just that we are so sinful, it's that He is so without sin. Mm-hmm. See, the debt of the sinner comes down to this. There is a separation between a sinner and a holy God that cannot be bridged by human effort. There's nothing you can do to get there. There's nothing you can do to undo what you've already done. Talking about debt this morning. The sinner has a debt. I want to say this, the Savior paid that debt. He paid the debt by His sinlessness. Do you understand that Jesus Christ never one time sinned or transgressed the law of God? Jesus, who lived in a human body, who was bound about with the same flesh that you and I have on our bodies. The Bible says that sin happens like this. It happens when a man is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Are y'all with me this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
Y'all wake up. There have been debates going on for hundreds of years, probably thousands of years, since Jesus was on this earth. And they go something like this. I don't like this debate, but I'm going to give it to you this morning to try to help you understand. It goes something like this. Could Jesus have sinned? Hear me out right here. Because my initial knee-jerk reaction is to say, well, no. He couldn't have because He didn't. But can I tell you something? The fact that He didn't wouldn't have made near as much difference if He couldn't. Let me let that sink in with you for a minute. If I go to the Lamborghini dealership later on today, y'all listen to me, say amen. And I walk in and I see, I don't even know what they are, a Lamborghini, a red one. I don't know what the models are. All right. With the doors that open up like that. I'm talking about race car motor in it. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Say amen.
Amen.
I mean, I know what they are, probably $200,000-$300,000. I think I got $300,000-$400,000 that I have access to right now. Not $100,000, just regular hundreds. If I walk in there wanting one of them red Lamborghinis and I leave out of there without, you know what just happened there? Not much. Because the reality is, I couldn't have never bought it if I wanted to. It wouldn't have made any difference. Nothing really changed. If I walked out of there and I told that salesman, I said, hey, bud, I don't like your price on this, so I'm going to go somewhere else and get one. You say, that don't carry no weight. Because you couldn't have bought that one in the first place. Are y'all picking up what I'm putting down here? The fact that Jesus had the physical ability in his flesh to transgress against God. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 12, Hebrews chapter number 14, or 4, I'm losing my mind this time. Hebrews chapter number 4, the Bible says that he was tempted at all points like as we are. Mm-hmm. Everything that he did, he was tempted constantly. And if he did not have the physical ability to give in to that temptation, then it wouldn't be quite as amazing that he did. See, that Hebrews 4 says this, he was tempted at all points like as we are, yet without sin.
Amen.
See, the Savior paid the debt by sinlessness, by doing what you and I could not do. By doing what you and I did not have the ability to do, he stepped in and overcame. The Bible says he overcame the flesh. He has defeated the flesh. He has defeated death. How? Because death is the price that is paid because of sin. And Jesus didn't have a price to pay because he didn't have no sin. He paid the debt by sinlessness. He paid the debt by staying the course. 33 years. Don't ever forget this about the life of Jesus. Here's how we look at the life of Jesus a lot of times. We look at the manger. We just come through that, right? The manger. And then in a couple of months, we'll look at the resurrection. Right? We'll look at the cross and the grave and the resurrection. But can I tell you something? There's 33 years in between the two things. 33 years that every day I submit to you. You can call me a heretic, call me anything you want to, but prove me wrong right here. I submit to you that every single day of that 33 years, every single moment of every day, every time that Jesus opened his eyes in the morning of them 33 years, however many days, 365 days a year for 33 years, there was a choice that had to be made. I woke up this morning tired. Woke up tired. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. You say, what did you do? I had to make a choice. Oh, but preacher, you don't have a choice. Oh, everybody's got a choice. Mm-hmm. I had to make a choice. I had to decide. Am I going to get up and go do my job today? Or am I going to stay right here up under this blanket? Choice. Y'all with me? Say amen.
Amen.
Tomorrow morning when I wake up, I got to make a choice. Am I going to live for God today? Am I going to live for me today? Am I going to continue to serve? Or am I going to quit?
That's good,
and all throughout my day, probably thousands of times, I don't know how many thousands of times throughout the day, I'm going to have to continually make those choices. Sometime this week, somebody's going to make me angry.
Amen.
I mean, I don't know about y'all, but I don't think I've ever gone a week without somebody pushing my buttons. And I'm going to have to make a choice. How am I going to handle this? Am I going to continue on? You know what? Everyone okay?
Amen.
At some point in this week, probably, I would normally say somebody in this room, but we got a lot of people that ain't here. So somebody in this church, at some point in this week, there's a very good chance that somebody in this church probably say something to me that'll make me mad. I'll hurt my feelings. I'll be real with you. Or either I say something to one of them that's going to hurt their feelings. Right? And there's a choice that's got to be made. Am I going to quit? Or am I going to continue? Let me tell you what Jesus did. The way that Jesus paid the debt of the sinner is because he stayed the course. He didn't quit. We just come through in the book of Mark talking about the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus looks over into the cup of the wrath of God that's about to be poured out on him. The price to be paid for the sins of mankind. And he had no sin. And a choice had to be made. He had to decide to stay the course. Everybody okay?
Amen.
So how did he pay the debt? He stayed the course. He didn't quit. He went the distance.
He went to Calvary and beyond. The sinner has a debt. The Savior paid the debt by sinlessness, by staying the course, and then by sacrificing himself. The most interesting thing to me about the life of Jesus Christ is that he died when he didn't have to. If any person that ever lived was given the option to the fact that they did not have to die, I would submit to you today that 99.999% of humanity over the course of all of time, if they were given the option that they did not have to die, would have taken that option rather than suffer death. Would y'all agree with that? Amen. Especially if the death that they were going to have to endure was a violent death. A painful, physically a painful death. But here's the interesting thing about Jesus is, he's the opposite. He didn't have to die. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Y'all listen to me, say amen.
Amen.
Jesus didn't have no sin. He was not owed a death. Certainly not a spiritual death. Yet he chose to accept that fate. Why? To pay our debt. You see, here's what Jesus did. The problem that we had was that we had this debt that we could not pay. The Bible says that the way that that debt is to be paid is by the shedding of blood. Innocent life must be given in place of that guilty life. Are y'all with me? Say amen.
Amen.
But the reality was that even all the bulls and goats in the world that they sacrificed in that Old Testament, the Bible says that they sacrificed them so much to the point at one time that the blood ran down off the mountaintop where the temple was sitting at. Even after all of that, you know what the conclusion was that they came to? It was never enough. You say, why? Because them bulls and goats didn't have the ability to cheat. Then bulls and goats were not like us. They were missing something that we had. God didn't breathe into the nostrils of the bulls and goats the breath of life and they became a living soul. He did that to man.
Amen.
So the solution was brought forth that there must be a sinless man that is willing to take on that sacrifice. And that's what Jesus did. He lived a life without sin. And then instead of accepting the reward for that, he looked around at you and me and took our sin and put it in the place where his sin was not. Are you hearing me? And he sacrificed his own blood. He gave his death in place of our death. And he took the blood of that sacrifice and he paid the price for our death.
Amen.
The Savior paid the debt by sacrificing himself. By the way, let me repeat this. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission.
This New Age Christian idea that we can dial up the gospel and make it pretty. Hear me out right here. No blood, no remission. If Jesus doesn't die for our sins, we have to. You understand that?
He sacrificed himself. He gave up the right that he had earned to not face the punishment for sin.
So why? So that you and I can be saved from that punishment.
The theological word that would be used is a substitutionary sacrifice. That means that what happened to him should have happened to us. But he let it happen to him so it didn't have to happen to us.
Debt.
The sinner has a debt. The Savior paid that debt. But then I submit to you this morning, I'm almost done. I submit to you this morning that the saint has a new debt.
And that's the debt that Paul is talking about in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 14. Can we all agree this morning that Paul is a saved person writing this letter?
Yeah.
The Bible tells the story of his salvation over and over and over again on the road to Damascus. God intervened in his life. Paul accepted Jesus as Lord and became a minister of the gospel and was a major part of the New Testament church. Wrote a third of the New Testament. Wrote 13 books of the New Testament. I'm talking about opening the door of the gospel to the Gentiles. Listen to me. If there was ever a person who I was confident in saying that this is a saved person we're talking about, it would be this guy. All right? Amen?
Amen.
But here's what Paul says as a saved individual. He says, I'm in debt. Wait a minute, preacher. I thought you just said that the Savior paid the debt. The Savior paid the debt of the sinner. There's no doubt about that. The Savior paid the sin debt of the sinner. But I submit to you this morning that the saved person, the saint of God, has inherited some debts as a part of the family of God. We have inherited some responsibilities that have been brought on to us. I'll give you this. Number one, I wrote this down, the debt of gratitude. Psalm chapter 150 says this, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord.
Right.
Praise ye the Lord. The debt of gratitude. I tell you what you ought to be if you ain't never been nothing else. If you can't be happy about nothing in this whole wide world, you ought to be happy about the fact that you ain't going to hell.
Amen.
I mean, really, I want you to think about this. This is what frustrates me with some Christians. If you can't get happy about nothing else, you ought to get happy about the fact that you ought to be in hell with your back broke 10 times over, spending eternity in that place of flames. But you're not, because there was a God who loved you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that when you believed in Him, you would not perish.
Amen.
Man, if nothing else don't help you, that ought to help you. Gratitude. I'm talking about gratitude. I'll be honest with you, I'm a little bit jaded in my thinking right now, probably a little bit off track, because I've put myself in situations over the last few days that have given me some perspective on gratitude about life and all those things. But listen to me, I tell you what, if you ain't never, no matter what situation you're in, there's gratitude that you are owed. You owe a debt to God of thankfulness because of what He's done for you. God may not never give you that Lamborghini, but you ought to be in hell.
Yep.
God may not never give you that $1 million, but He saved your dirty, rotten soul.
Amen.
Gratitude.
Amen.
Gratitude. Paul talked a lot about gratitude and thankfulness in the New Testament.
But I'm going to say it real simple like this. If you can't be thankful to God for saving you, what in the world are you thankful for?
Amen. The Bible says that God inhabits the praise of His people. You know what praise is? Praise is verbal recognition of gratitude. Praise is me telling you how good you are. Amen. Hey, listen. I ain't no Englishologist here, but this is pretty common sense right here. Praise is me telling you that I think you're good. Amen.
Amen.
Praise is me vocally, verbally letting you know, physically in some way, letting you know that I see what you're doing and I think it's good and I like it. You know why most churches don't have no God? It's because they don't have no praise.
Yeah.
I'm glad, listen, if you get a raise at work, I'm glad if you get a promotion, I'm glad if something good happens to you, but you hear me and hear me well, our praise is a debt that needs to be paid to God. Listen to me, I heard a preacher say it like this one time. He said, we need to pay the praise bill so God will turn the lights on. Amen, listen to me, it's high time that we learn how to give our gratitude to God.
Christian ought to have an attitude of gratitude. That's pretty good right there.
If a Christian ain't nothing else, they ought to be thankful.
Amen.
Even in our prayers, The Bible says that we ought to pray with supplication and thanksgiving. When Jesus began the model prayer, he started like this: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's praise. Gratitude.
This, I ain't talking about lost people here. Lost people ain't supposed to have gratitude because they ain't got nothing to be thankful for. You hear me? They don't understand the one thing that they do have to be thankful for. They don't even understand it. I'm talking about saved people. If you can't get happy about being saved, there's something wrong with your salvation. You hear me?
I'm being real serious right here because I get frustrated with Christians, negative Christians. That's a oxymoron. Don't make no sense. That's like jumbo shrimp.
How can it be jumbo if it's a shrimp? I heard somebody say this, an oxymoron, that's like the House Intelligence Committee.
Some of y'all got that. I'm saying most of them ain't real intelligent. You hear me?
Yeah.
Negative Christian don't make a lick of sense. I think one of them things probably ain't true. That'd be my guess. Because if you can't get happy about the fact that you're saved, there was a song come out a few years ago titled "I'm Not Going to Hell." And you know, there was some preachers that come about. That preacher's always got something to argue about. That didn't like that song. And everybody was trying to make these deep theological arguments about, you know, why they were for it and why they were against it and all this. I'm going to give you my argument. If you can't get happy about not going to hell, there's something wrong with you. You might be going. There's something wrong with you. Ain't nothing wrong with me. There's something wrong with you. If you can't get excited about the fact that you're not going to hell, then listen to me. You need to do what the Bible says. Examine yourself to see if you be in the faith.
That's right.
I'm about tired of dancing around it.
I tell you what would change the face of Christianity in America coming up on 2025 if we would just get some gratitude in our lives. Amen. We're so spoiled. God help us, we're so spoiled.
I'm talking about we have been so blessed and highly favored that we forgot that ain't none of it owed to us. Matter of fact, we owe him as a result.
I could even go so far as to say this. The life that you're living right now, that's what we call a rental.
It's on loan. You know how I know that's true? Because God knows when it's going to be over. And he gets to decide how long it's going to be. So every day that you live is a day that God could have took you out of here and he didn't.
That's right.
I'm trying to give you some perspective this morning.
The saint owes a debt of gratitude. Not only that, but the saint owes a debt of grace.
I quoted this verse earlier. I've said again, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. The saint owes a debt of grace to this world. You know what's interesting about a debt? There's two things you can do with debt. I'm trying to preach this the best I can, but I don't know if I'm getting it across or not. But there's really two things you can do with the debt. You can pay it or you can ignore it. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, I've got some debts that I pay, and I've got some that I have ignored. Am I the only one? I mean, have y'all ever, I don't know about y'all, maybe y'all have been living high on the hog for your whole life or whatever, but have y'all ever got two bills in and had to decide which one you was going to pay and which one you was going to pretend like wasn't there for a while? Based on, I think they give me a few more days before they cut this one off. Or y'all know what I'm talking about? That's pretty much all two things you can do with it. It is pay it or ignore it. But the interesting thing is, you can ignore it, but when you ignore it, it doesn't go away. You can ignore that gas bill, but eventually it's going to get cold. Amen?
Amen.
In the end, the debt still stands. The debt of grace. I tell you what, you can give grace into this world, or you can withhold grace.
Yeah.
But I tell you what God's going to do. God's going to keep setting you up in situations for you to give that grace that He's given to you into the world. And you're going to do one of two things. You're either going to pay that debt, or it's going to pile up on you.
And hey, listen, can I say this? When that debt of grace gets to a certain point, everybody else is going to stop paying you too. Oh yeah. Listen to me now. When it gets to a certain point,
that debt of grace piles up so much that everybody's going to start to reciprocate. I've had people come to me in counseling and say something like this. People just don't accept me. Usually, can I be real with you, church? Everybody okay? Usually, if everybody is not accepting to you, that's usually an indicator of the fact that you have not been accepting to others for a long period of time, and people have finally got to the place where they're tired of getting burnt. Nobody's nice to me. That probably means that you ain't been nice to nobody else for a long time, and now all of a sudden they've just decided, you know what, I ain't going to keep sticking my hand in this dog's mouth and seeing if I get bit. Amen. Yes. Hey, listen, don't put your head down. We ain't praying yet. Just stay with me. We have a debt of grace. If we don't give grace to this world, who's going to? Jesus made two statements that seem to conflict, but when you understand the concept, they don't. He said first, I am the light of the world. When he was here, walking on this earth, he said, I am the light of the world. And that's true, amen?
Mm-hmm.
Then when after he left this world, he told his disciples, you are the light of the world. Can I say that? Can I say this morning? You are the light of the world. You are either the light of the world or the world ain't getting no light. If they don't get it from us, where are they going to get it from? Hey, the old time preachers used to say it like this. Help ain't coming from the White House. It's coming from the church house.
Amen.
Or it ain't coming at all. Say, so why grace, preacher? Because grace is the attribute that brings salvation.
Yeah.
Ephesians says that you are saved by grace through faith. We cannot endow onto somebody else faith in their own heart, but we can show them grace to the point that they understand that the grace of God is available to them.
Yeah.
And that brings me to this, and I'm almost done. The sinner has a debt. The Savior paid the sinner's debt, and the saint has a debt. The debt of gratitude, the debt of grace, but then I give you this, the debt of the gospel. Here's what Paul said in verse number 14. He said, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and the barbarians, to the wise and the unwise. And you say, what is he saying that he owes these people? What is it that Paul owes to these people around him? Go to the next verse and he'll tell you. He says, for I, as so much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. He was telling the church in Rome, hey, listen, I'm preaching the gospel. I got to preach the gospel to all these people, but I got to preach it to you too.
Yeah.
Everybody with me? Say amen.
Amen.
The saint owes a debt of the gospel. You say, to who? The Greeks, the barbarians, to Rome, the wise, the unwise. Are you listening to me? To your friends, to your enemies, to them that look like you and to them that don't, to them that live like you and to them that don't, to them that know more than you and to them that know less than you, to them that have more than you and to them that have less than you and to them that have the same as you. To them that live here and to them that live yonder. We just looked at a video of somebody preaching the gospel in a place called Albania. I ain't a betting man, but I'd make a pretty good wager that ain't nobody in this room ever going to go to Albania. Are y'all listening to me? But there's somebody there. Listen to me, that we're taking a part in them preaching the gospel to that place because we have a debt to pay to this world. Jesus said, go out into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Every creature needs a preacher, praise God. I can't preach it to all of them, but I can do things that allow the gospel to get to all of them. We have a debt to pay, church.
Amen. We have a debt to pay. So how do we pay that debt, preacher? Verse number 16.
This is real simple. I'm almost done. I want to challenge you. This is the last Sunday before we enter into 2025. You know what our church needs in 2025? We need to pay off some debt. God has been real good to us. I'm looking around at this church and God has blessed us so mightily. 5 years, Bounties Baptist Church has been in existence. 5 years. Y'all understand? We own this property outright. We have put hundreds of thousands of dollars on the mission field and into our community. Are you hearing me? Affected countless lives. We got to start paying our debt. I'm telling you, I believe with all my heart, if we want this thing to continue the way that it's going, we got to pay the debt. Because you know what happens to churches that don't pay their debt? Eventually God turns the lights off.
That's right.
God don't owe us nothing. But we do owe Him.
Amen.
See, how do we pay the debt of the gospel? It's very simple. Look at what Paul says in verse number 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. So how do we pay the debt by not being ashamed? I want to encourage you. God's dealt with my heart about this recently. I want to encourage you right here. Church, listen to me now. We're in debt. We got to pay our debt. I don't know what day it was. I don't even know what day it is now. I'm hoping it's Sunday. I was in Walmart parking lot. Harris Teeter parking lot. That's where I was at. Now I remember. And I looked over and I was looking. I was praying. Because listen to me now. Are you listening to the church? Everybody okay? I'm on Facebook Live and everything, but I'll be real with you. Everybody okay? I'm behind on my payments. You hear me? And I ain't talking about tithing. I'm behind on my gospel payments. Been a while since I paid that particular debt out in the world. And I was praying in Harris Teeter, God, send me some. I had a pocket full of gospel tracts. These right here, these church invitations. And I was praying, God, send me somebody. And I was getting ready to get in my car to leave. I just loaded up my groceries. I looked over and there was a lady loading up her groceries. Everybody okay? I'm going to tell the truth. Is that okay? Hey, listen. She had just put a 12-pack of Coors Light in the back of her car. And when I seen that, I turned around and started to go get back in my Jeep. And the Holy Ghost said, don't do that. Don't do that. You better go talk to that woman. I walked over to her and I said, ma'am, can I help you with your groceries? She said, no, sir. Thank you. I said, here, let me give you this. I said, I'd like to invite you to our church. And she said, well, thank you. I said, Merry Christmas. God bless you. I walked off. He said, preacher, how's that paying the debt? Look right here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. On the back of this little card right here, this question is asked. If you died today, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? And if the answer to that question is no, then there's steps given. on how to resolve that issue. Now, that was a simple interaction. I didn't try to get that woman to make a profession. We didn't lay down in the parking lot of Harris Teeter and have a church session. Real simple, okay? So what is that, preacher? That's just me trying to pay a little debt. Amen. This church owes a debt. We have done a lot of things well. But listen to me. Our evangelism needs improvement in 2025. Yes. Been a while. Since there's been somebody in this altar getting saved. You know why that is? Because we're not bringing lost people in. I ain't trying to beat on your church, but I come to preach this morning. We owe a debt. You know why you're not in hell right now? Because somebody paid their debt. You know why this preacher ain't on his way to hell right now? Because somebody paid their debt. Because somebody come and offered the gospel to me.
You know, these churches all have themes for this and that and themes for the year.
I ain't crazy big on all of that, but I'll say this, we ought to pay our debt in 2025.
Amen.
I tell you what, we'll see God bless this thing beyond measure.
Amen.
I believe that if we start paying down that debt that Paul's talking about of the gospel to the world. Paul didn't say, by the way, I'm glad we support missionaries. I'm glad we support other works. I'm thankful for all of that. Thank God for it. Are you listening to me, church? I'm glad the church pays me a salary to stand up here and preach the gospel 3 times a week. Praise God for it. But I'm telling you right now, Paul didn't say the preacher's got a debt. He didn't say the missionary's got a debt. He said, I am debtor. I owe the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we do it? I'm fixing to be done. Paul said, here's how I do it. I'm not ashamed.
Right.
Paul said, I've gotten to the place where I believe what I believe so fervently that it doesn't bring me shame. I think some of us this morning need to examine where we're at in our faith. Because some of us are not ashamed to talk about the president. We're not ashamed to talk about a ball team. But when the subject of the gospel comes up, all of a sudden, we get sheepish, scared. I tell you what y'all to pray this morning. The prayer that I'm praying going into 2025 is, God, let me just not be ashamed.
Amen.
God, give me boldness.
Amen.
Courage. God, let me pay my debts. Hunter's coming to the piano.